chapter 5. We're continuing looking at culture. And tonight we're going to take a little twist. Not literally, unless you want to. We're going to look at church culture. And I want to look at study here. We're going to study it together. We're going to look at a dangerous church culture, a dangerous church culture. Luke chapter 5 and verse 30. Luke chapter 5, verse 30. The Bible says, "But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, 'Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners?' And Jesus answering said unto them, 'They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" Pretty simple passage of scripture tonight. But I want us to look at a dangerous church culture that we want to stay away from. Let's pray. Lord, help us tonight as we look at a variety of passages of scripture. And Lord, I pray you would help us as we study these scriptures together, that you'd give us direction and understanding. And I pray, Lord, that you'd be glorified with our response tonight. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm not saying tonight that this is the culture of our church. I think it's a culture that could threaten our church. I think it's a culture that threatens any church and any believer. And so it's serious, and that's why we want to look at it. Now, the passage in Luke 5 is a wonderful scripture. Jesus bids a publican by the name of Levi to follow him. So he wants Levi to follow him. And Levi follows the Lord, and so Levi makes a feast for Jesus. And the Bible says that he invites Jesus to come to his home, and there's a whole group of publicans there. And I mean, I'm not trying to read into scripture, but I would assume that would be all of Levi's friends. He invited all of his friends to hear what Jesus had to say. You have to hear what this man has to say. And so the scribes and the Pharisees, the Bible says, are also there. And they begin to have conversation. They begin to murmur. And this is what they say. They say, "This man," speaking of Jesus, "this man eats with publicans, and he also eats with sinners." Now, what is a publican? A publican, we'd say, well, it's a tax collector. But a publican is more than just a tax collector. A publican is a Jewish tax collector that collected on behalf of the Roman government. And so there were two things about a publican that people didn't like. First of all, they took their money, but also they were known as thieves. Now, I don't know if they stole, but usually they padded on top of their tax money and they took the surplus. And so they weren't liked within Jewish culture. They were despised. And so Jesus responds to these Pharisees and scribes. He says to them, "Listen, I have not called the righteous, but I've called sinners." Now understand this. This is not a compliment. Jesus is not saying in this passage of Scripture that you are so righteous that you don't need me. You're doing fine all by yourself. You just go ahead and keep on doing what you're doing. You'll be fine. Jesus is not saying that. The reality is he was passing by them on account of their pride. They already said that we are righteous and we don't need God. That's how they lived their life. They lived their life like they didn't need God. And this attitude or this culture that we are too righteous, that we are far righteous, that we don't need God, of course, it all stems from pride. Now, this is the idea of being puffed up. And the Apostle Paul spoke of this. He talked about the culture in the church of Corinth. We don't want the culture from the church of Corinth. He writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, he says, "And ye are puffed up." The Bible teaches us that God opposes pride. Now, what can pride do? Well, pride can do a lot of things. You are probably witness to what pride can do. Pride can destroy homes. It can destroy marriages. Pride can destroy relationships and friendships. Pride can split churches. Pride is destructive. But I want us to focus on something within the idea of pride, that if we're not careful, it's so subtle, if we're not careful, it can sneak up on us. Let's go to Proverbs in the 6th chapter, if we could turn there. Proverbs chapter 6, and I want us to notice here what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 6, and notice what the scriptures say here. Proverbs chapter 6, and look what the Bible says in verse 16. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16. The Bible says this, verse 16, "These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven, are an abomination unto him." The Bible says, verse 17, "A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren." He that soweth discord among brethren would be the seventh, an abomination unto the Lord. But verse 17, the Bible begins by saying that God hates a proud look. And it's interesting because what is a proud look? You could write this down. This is a good definition of a proud look. A proud look is an attitude of unwelcoming grace. An attitude of unwelcoming grace. A proud look is one that says in his heart, "I don't need God. I don't need your help in my life." And this attitude, this culture, is dangerous. We don't want this to be a part of our life. You know something interesting? When we open the Bible and we read the Gospels, we're not going to do that tonight. But it's interesting, when we read the Gospels, the strongest rebuke that Jesus gave was not to wicked sinners in the world. The strongest rebuke that Jesus gave were not to atheists or idol worshipers. Think about this. His strongest rebuke were to churchgoers. His strongest rebuke were to people who memorized a lot of scripture. His strongest rebuke, he called them blind guides. He called them ones who strain in a gnat and swallow a camel. He called them whitened sepulchers. He called them generations of vipers. The harshest words that Jesus had were to self-righteous people. And that ought to be something that gets our attention. A proud look. God hates a proud look. Now, this is why I think that we have to be careful. Because I think that within this pride, it breeds three responses to others and ourselves. And I think that these three responses are both dangerous and subtle. And if we're not careful, we could have it before we even know it. And that's why I believe we need to study this together tonight. So what's my response with this type of pride, this self-righteous, you know, proud look attitude? I'll give you three of them, real simple tonight. Number one, there's first of all the ridicule response. The ridicule response. It's the response where we put everyone else around us down here and we place ourselves up here. We think that we're better than anyone else. Listen to me. We think that we're better than everyone else because of what we do, but the problem is we ignore who we are. Who we are. And this response can be far-reaching, where Christians, individuals think that they have a better sense, and this is incredible, but Christians to think that they have a better sense of right and wrong than God himself. And this is, by the way, Isaiah dealt with this. Here's what Isaiah had to say in Isaiah 29, verse 16. He says, "Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say to him that made it, 'He made me not'? Or shall the thing framed say to him that framed it, 'He had no understanding'?" Our pride can arrange things in our mind where we believe that we know more than God. And the Bible is quick to tell us and remind us that God is far above us. And listen to me, God doesn't answer to us. God doesn't answer to us. But as far as the culture of a church and an individual, there's no one better than anyone else. We are all sinners. I hope you understand that. We are saved by God's grace. And in reality, we don't deserve anything. People say, "Well, I just want what I deserve." Buddy, you don't want what you deserve. We deserve hell. We don't deserve anything. Now, in Luke chapter 18, the story is told of a Pharisee and a publican. In Luke 18, verse 10, the Bible says, "Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican." If you want to turn there, you can. It's Luke chapter 18, verse 10. I'll read verse 11 now. "The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up as much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Notice what it says in verse 11. Here this Pharisee said this, and I'll paraphrase it. He says, "Man, I'm better than that guy over there. I'm glad I'm not like him." And we read in this scripture that he thought he was better because of what he did. But what about his heart? God's interested in our hearts. Now, don't get me wrong. God, you know, our heart impacts our life and what we do. Absolutely. But God cares about our heart. And sometimes we believe that if someone carries a Bible or wears a suit or they say the right thing, then they automatically must be right with God. But that just isn't true. It just isn't true. I mean, think about this for just a moment. David's brothers were rejected as king because they didn't look kingly. I mean, in fact, Samuel thought that they looked the part. Samuel thought that they truly would be the next king. They were strong, they were bold, they were kingly. David was just a boy. He was a shepherd boy. But the Bible says that God looks at the heart. We look on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And we notice the contrast in attitude. The Bible says this publican wouldn't even look to heaven, but he said, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." And God explains it all for us, the principle in verse 14. He says, "If you exalt yourself, then you oppose God. But if you humble yourself, then you'll be exalted." There's another story in the New Testament in Luke chapter 7. Jesus is eating a meal with a Pharisee. And a woman enters into a room to anoint the Lord Jesus. And we notice the response of this religious man in verse 7, in verse 30, chapter 7 of Luke, in verse 39. "And when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. If this man truly was a prophet, if Jesus is who he says he is, he would have never let this woman in this room. She's a woman of the night. She's a sinner. Why would she be allowed to eat here? He looked down at her because he said he was righteous, or thought he was righteous, and she a sinner. But here's the problem with that type of attitude. The problem is the Bible. Because in Romans 3, verse 10, the Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. The problem is that it's not about our righteousness, but the righteousness that we receive in Christ. It's about grace. Paul put it this way in Philippians 3, 9. He says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Listen, when we see someone in the community who has been beaten down by this world, just remember that you are just like them, except by the grace of God, you're here today. By the grace of God. Important for us to learn. This pride can sneak in, and all of a sudden we think that we're better than others because of what we do. But our merit is found at the cross. I'm glad today the ground is level at the cross. Amen. What a wonderful blessing. We're all sinners, and we all need the grace of God. Number two, second response tonight. And that is the boasting response. The boasting response. What does the Bible say about boasting when it comes to our salvation? Well, it says simply, we cannot boast of our salvation. Not of works. Say it with me. Lest any man should boast. We cannot boast of our salvation because we've done nothing to save us. The Bible says it's not of works. It's by the grace of God. Now think about this attitude of self-righteousness. In Romans chapter 1, would you turn there? Romans chapter 1. And look what the Bible says. This is the Apostle Paul writing about his brethren, fellow Jews. And notice what he has to say in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 1. This is important here. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 1. Look what the scripture says. Romans 10 verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, Paul says that his fellow Jews did not reject God's salvation because they were following some pagan leader. No, he says they rejected salvation because they thought they were too righteous. They thought they didn't need God. And they boasted of their own merit, their own work, and their own righteousness. Listen today. And don't get me wrong. We need to take a stand. We need to live for God. All of those things are true. But unfortunately, so many times, if we're not careful, we can boast in our work, in our stand, in our spiritual maturity to the point where it becomes no longer about God. It becomes about us. And look what we've done. We can assume that because of the life we live, that God owes us something. Because of my attitude or my servant attitude, because of what I do, God, you owe me something. And this attitude, of course, is because of pride. We're so busy boasting on the things that we do that we even ignore who we are, our heart. Think about this. Someone wrote this. I thought this was good. They said, pride is a lot like AIDS of the soul. They said, no one dies of AIDS. AIDS break down your body's ability to fight off illnesses of any kind. And one of those illnesses will eventually kill you. They said, pride is like that. It lowers our defense against all kinds of destructive sins. Our attitude is this: even if everyone falls away, I will not. And that's a great attitude to have to stand. But here's the problem. The Bible says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. What was the famous last words of Peter again? I will not. I will never do that. I would never say that. I would never go there. And then all of a sudden we wake up one day, and there we are, doing what we never would do, saying what we never would say, being who we never would be. Pride can make us think that we are even above temptation. Look at Revelation chapter 3. Would you turn there with me? Revelation chapter 3. I want us to notice the church of Laodicea, a familiar church here. And I think this really brings home this idea of boasting. Laodicea was a church in the book of Revelation, an actual church that Jesus writes to here. And he writes in verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou neither art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve. The city of Laodicea was known for their export of eye salve. And Jesus is saying, you're blind. Take some of that eye salve, that spiritual eye salve, and put it on your eyes that thou mayest see. He writes in verse 9, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. This is why I believe this church, they were born again, because we understand that from the book of Hebrews chapter 10, be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in the throne, in my throne, even as I also overcame, I am set down with my Father in his throne. Now talk about boasting for a moment. They said to Jesus, we are rich, we're increased with goods, and we need nothing. You know what they're saying? They're saying, God, we're okay. We're doing good. We got money in the bank. We got a good crowd of people. I mean, we have everything that we need here, Lord. And Jesus said, wait a minute. What about your heart? What about your heart? You boast in these things, but what about your heart? In Revelation chapter 2, just a couple of pages back, Jesus speaks to the church at Ephesus. And the church at Ephesus, well, they had a different situation. They were busy. The church at Ephesus, they worked, they served. They even stood against the Nicolaitans. And Jesus said, I hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans just as much as you. But the problem with the church at Ephesus is that they left their first love. They left their love for Christ. Jesus told Martha that serving is good, but the most important thing is your walk with God and your talk with God. And this is why in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, Paul said, if you're going to glory or boast on anything, why don't you boast on the cross and what Christ has done for you? You see, this pride can get into our heart, and it can cause us, unfortunately, it can cause us to have a wrong perception. It can cause us to have a response of ridicule, a response of boasting. But I want us to notice, thirdly, the minimizing response. The minimizing response. What is the minimizing response? Well, by pride, we will minimize our own actions. But here's the problem. We begin to maximize the actions of other people. It's like the man who's hollering and screaming at someone for not being kind to them and not seeing his own hypocrisy. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Now here's an important truth here. Don't miss it. Jesus is not saying not to judge. But what he's saying is that the standard that you hold others to is the same standard you're going to be held to. That's what the Lord is saying. And for many, that's a pretty high standard. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 4, the Pharisees held a standard. They wanted the followers of the Pharisees to keep the law, this religious crowd. And Jesus kind of breaks it all open and reveals their own heart. He says in Matthew 23 verse 4, he says, "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." Jesus said the Pharisees didn't practice what they preached. They placed burdens on other people, but they weren't willing to live by the same rule. And then we come back to that famous line, right? I would never. And I pray by God's grace that is true in our life. But the problem with pride is it has a way of concealing our attitude, but at the same time amplifying the sins of other people. And it's why Paul said not to compare ourselves with one another. He said, why? 2 Corinthians 10 verse 12. He said, it's not wise. It's the writer of Hebrews that reminds us in chapter 12 to look unto Jesus, the finisher of our faith. You know, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching with you. Pride is something we all deal with and we all fight against. And God help us today to never have this culture, this self-righteous culture of we're better than other people and, you know, we look down at other people. God help us never to have that culture in this place. Because where would we be today without the grace of God? That's the thing. Where would we be today without the grace of God? Would you rather have someone in the church that is wearing a brand new suit and a Bible in their hand and is just a facade? Or would you rather have a rough character sitting in the pew who wants to serve the Lord and is growing in grace? I mean, the reality is, who would Jesus want? Who did Jesus speak against? He spoke against those who were so self-righteous that they didn't even need God in their life. It's something. God, help us today to boast in Jesus, to not look down at people, and to keep our eyes on Him. It's a reminder for all of us. Let's pray. Lord, help us tonight as we think of Your word.